Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with WalletHub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for WalletHub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. I'm the managing editor at WalletHub, and I've been covering personal finance for more than 15 years now. My goal is to help you manage your money better and hopefully have a little bit of fun in the process. As always, be sure to let us know if you have any questions or if there's something you want us to cover. We'll actually get to a listener question at the end, so make sure to stick around for that. But first, our main topic for today is how to set yourself up for financial success in the new year. I'll bet everyone listening wouldn't mind having a little more money to play with, or at least the ability to stretch their funds further. And most of us have something we could improve about our money management, if not a whole laundry list of things. The start of the year is also a good time to undertake this type of task, since you're already turning the page on the calendar and you're already planning the months ahead, hopefully with optimism. We're also kind of psychologically programmed to view January 1st as a new beginning of sorts. So it's really kind of works well overall. Of course, just because the conditions align for us to feel motivated and productive doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to sustain whatever changes you make and actually improve your situation. We've all know that probably from experience. But just for example, consider these stats from some recent WalletHub research. Since 2020, consumers have started the year off by paying off more than $58 billion in credit card debt during the first quarter on average. So it's a huge first quarter pay down when we're getting our salary bonuses, thinking about New Year's resolutions, and really kind of focusing on self-improvement overall. The problem is that when we then spend the second and third quarters replacing the debt that we paid off, essentially the debt that we paid off in the first quarter, So by the fourth quarter, we're pretty much around even or a little bit in the hole. And then we have a fourth quarter bonanza that leaves us with a huge net increase for the year. Hopefully 2025 will be a little bit different. By the time you're listening to this, maybe, people have been a little more, cautious with their spending and try to rein it in, but we'll see. History does not support that, possibility really. So this is just kind of a microcosm of how your early year momentum can kind of peter out as times get tough and the year just goes on. So that's really important to keep in mind for the 1 in 4 Americans who are planning to make finance related New Year's resolutions for 2026, according to a survey we just did. So really those intentions are great, but you really need to make a plan to follow through with them. Now, in terms of those resolutions, we found that about 31% of people who are making a financial resolution say they want to save more in the new year, which kind of makes a lot of sense. Also, more than half of Americans say inflation is their biggest financial concern for the new year, which will really kind of go against saving more money. And nearly 3 in 5 people say they'll keep their resolutions a secret this year. So that's kind of a sign that people aren't maybe very confident in their resolutions or the chances of achieving them. Yet almost 60% of people say that 2026 will be better for their wallet than 2025.
To help you start the year off right, I'd like to welcome our guest, Professor Nicole Hixon. Nicole is a senior lecturer of business at Atlanta Metropolitan State College and an adjunct professor of business at Langston University. She's also a financial literacy coach for the nonprofit organization University for Parents and an entrepreneur herself. Thanks for joining us, Nicole.
Thank you for having me today. I'm really excited to be here.
Very excited to have you. To start, can you tell the listeners a little bit about your background and your work in and out of the classroom?
Absolutely. Well, I'm originally from New Jersey, and I moved to Georgia in like 1990. I went to high school here in Atlanta, and I'm a proud graduate of the University of Georgia. Go Dawgs! And yes, we are definitely praying for them in this playoff season. I earned my master's degree at Troy University, but honestly, my biggest education in money and finance came from just real life. I learned financial literacy the hard way. Through mistakes, debt, figuring it out as I went, throwing spaghetti on the wall, see what stuck. Today, as a full-time business professor, I teach all types of business courses, from business ethics to entrepreneurship. You know, it runs the gambit. And a lot of my joy comes from the financial literacy classes that I teach at University for Parents. It's a nonprofit. For parents to just come and get different skills. They got anger management, they have financial literacy, they have health and wellness, mindset. So it's a really great organization doing good work in the community. And then lastly, my husband and I own an auto body collision shop here in Riverdale, Georgia. So that business finance piece is a whole nother animal. That's another podcast in and of itself. We recently built a 10,000 square foot building from the ground up. And when I tell you, that was another, like, just that was a crash course, PhD level in business finance. So that's another animal. But everything's going well, and I'm just really excited to be here. So that kind of runs the gambit of who I am and how I got into this financial literacy space, and why I'm here. I had two really good friends in college who kind of gave me the basics on finance, and that helped me want to help others, because they just, you know, just saw what they did, and I'm like, oh, I could do that too. So that's what encouraged me to really get started in sharing my story and the things that I'm going through and how to help others do it with ease.
That's really interesting. It sounds like you have a lot of irons in the fire and a lot of interesting kind of business exploits that I'm sure we could hear a lot of stories about. But you were also mentioning kind of how you've learned the hard way a lot of things, and you want to kind of pass it along to people who are in need and help them change their lives and things like that. And I think that's really important and has a really big role in the community, because a lot of financial advice these days comes off as kind of condescending or isn't really practical. It's more theoretical. And so a lot of people have a hard time relating to it, and it's already kind of dry subject matter that people would rather not deal with anyway. So having someone who can relate to them and is charismatic is definitely can help plant that seed, that like it did with you, and kind of wanting people wanting to really look into it more.
Absolutely.
So our main topic for today is kind of starting off the year on a strong financial footing and really setting yourself up for a prosperous 2026. So for people who are in that mindset and they really want to make sure they're kind of getting their ducks in a row early in the year, what should they be focusing on? Okay, both maybe in the first quarter of the year or in January specifically to start off with that. What do you recommend?
So what's so interesting is that the work really begins right now. It's like doing pre-work or homework, because before January even begins, we really need to start getting our mind ready. It's like getting ready to start a new meal plan, a meal prep. You got to see what you want to eat. You got to go to the grocery store, pick it out. You can't just wake up and magically have healthy food in your house. And it's very similar with finances. So January will only work if we get our mindset together this month right now. What is today, the 18th, 17th? Or
18th.
You know, we have about, I don't know, another week and a half to really start thinking about things. So number one, I want people to pause and ask themselves, you know, what emotions come up when you think about money? Like you said, nobody even wants to talk about money. We like, you know what, I don't have enough. End of discussion. But we want people to start thinking about, you know, what do you think about when you think about money? Is it fear? Is it stress? Is it guilt? Is it joy? and think about your emotions around it. Write that down. Mm-hmm. Then identify why you want to get your money together, whether it's, you know, I just want to feel better about money. I want to buy things. I want to do more for my family. I want to not stress from check to check.
Yeah.
Figure out what your why is. Then identify, you know, why do you want to save? Why do you want to be debt free? I know these sound like simple questions, like, of course, because I just want to be rich. But really, it's a little bit deeper than that. Like, you know, and when you have a why, like, I'm doing this for something, it will allow you to consistently keep it going. And that's the issue with us. Like, we can save for a week, save this check, save next check, but then we fall off, like, a, you know, like working out. Mm-hmm. So remember, money is a tool. It's a tool for our to our financial freedom. It's something we need to get there along with everything else. And we have to tell it what to do and not for it to tell us what to do. And then the next thing is ending that ostrich cycle. We got to get our heads out of the sand. And so back to like doing it now, I like to tell people right now, when we're thinking about, you know, starting a new spending plan or whatever, I want people to review what they're spending right now, because these are the things that you want to change, but you can't change them if you don't know what you're doing. And most of us don't even want to look at a bank statement. We don't want to look at a credit card statement. We just see the number and just want to go to sleep, mm-hmm. because it just makes us so sad. You see that bottom number. So I like to tell people, you know, let's end that ostrich cycle, get your head out of the sand. Take a look at your bank statements and your credit card statements this month. They're getting ready to come out. I mean, if you want to look at the ones in November, that's even better. I know we're getting ready to do some Christmas spending, and maybe we really need to look at that so we can, you know, start some of those baby habits right now. Mm-hmm. Highlight the categories. What is killing us now is that spending money is so easy. I think I spent $65 this morning just on my phone before I left the house. Like, yeah. We can spend money so easily. So we want to look at categories like subscriptions, mm-hmm. auto drafts, impulse spending, scrolling Instagram, TikTok, Amazon. I mean, you know, most people are shocked by how much money is quietly slipping through those cracks. So really, it's going to be about doing that pre-work in order for January to be a success. So I want us to know what's going on right now, so we know when we wake up on January 1 what we have to do. Make a list of all your expenditures. And again, that's easier for us because most of us use digital spending, credit card, debit card. When you review that, you can see your expenditures, good, bad, necessary, and for people like me, unnecessary. Make your categories. And from there, you'll have the awareness to set you up from January. Now you can redirect, refine, and rejuvenate your finances. And of course, the one thing we hate to hear, create the spending plan. I call it a spending plan because the word budget sounds so negative, mm-hmm. and it just makes you like, I don't want a budget. I want a spending plan. Like, what am I going to tell my money to do when it comes in? And there are many tools for this. Everybody does something different. And like you said, when you hear the pundits talk or the theoretical, it's all these magical things. Let's do what works for you. I'm a pen and paper girl. Mm-hmm. Some people are not. Some people are a digital person. So there are a lot of budget apps that are out there. So I say try what works for you. If you're a digital techie person, let's find a cool app. Try a couple. Try the free ones first, right? Don't spend your money. And if you're a notebook person, let's just write it down. You know, this is how much money I have. This is my rent, my car note, my insurance, my Netflix subscriptions. Write it down. Do the math. Really basic. Keep it simple. Because if you can manage $100, you can manage $1,000, you can manage $10,000, you can manage $1,000,000. As long as you start those steps early, they do not change just because you have more money. But you got to get them in place early, even when you have a little.
That's great advice. And on the budgeting app front, mm-hmm. just to throw out there, WalletHub does have budgeting features now, and we've worked on them a lot over the years. And so we really think they're some of the best on the market now. And one of the things that I'll point out with that is we have both free tools and premium subscriptions for more features, so people can kind of choose what they want. And a lot of other budgeting apps will kind of force you to do it one way, like you have to do zero-based budgeting or the 50-30-20 mm-hmm. rule or whatever, and it gets really uh-huh. rigid. And what we yeah. give you, we let you choose between five or more budgeting methods, and so you can really play awesome. Around with it and figure out what works for you. And if you want to sync your financial accounts for automatic expense tracking, you can. If you prefer not to, that's fine too. But I agree, like with what you're saying, the most important thing is to just start and just begin doing it, and you'll figure out what works for you and what doesn't. And it doesn't have to be what works for your neighbor, and what your most necessary expenses are may not, someone else might not consider them essential, but you do, and vice versa. So don't worry too much about what other people think or doing it the quote unquote perfect way. Just start.
There is no, money is a living, breathing thing. So, you know, life is life. And what was important to me 6 months ago, I probably don't even need it right now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you gotta, and you have to be okay with, and I think when we talk about money, or when we've been told about money, your budget is strict and it doesn't change. Your budget can change from month to month. It can change from week to week, because life is doing what? Life is lifing every day. And so, you know, you have to be, but what we're doing now is important. Talking about it. Mm-hmm. People don't want to talk about it. And as we talk about it, you get more comfortable with dealing with it, looking at your finances, looking at your budget, sitting down weekly with your family and talking about what we're spending, what we're doing, what we're going to do next week. A lot of people are not doing that, and then they look up and everything's in chaos.
Exactly. And the longer you wait, the more you feel like you have to do it when you do it, and it creates a cycle of not doing things. I know how that goes. But so you've already talked about this a little bit, but we did a survey at WalletHub recently, and we found that saving more money is the most common goal for people making a financial New Year's resolution for 2026. Do you have any particular tips for saving more? And what are your opinions on New Year's resolutions for financial issues? Do you think they help, or is it more of a false hope type thing?
Well, first of all, the word saving alone can induce a panic attack, right? People often think of, when you hear the word savings, it's like, I can't have, right? We don't ever associate it with, you know, saving can save for wonderful things. It's always, if I save, that means I can't have this or that, and it can be overwhelming. So my number one thing is recommending starting small, especially for people who never really saved or don't know how. I tell people, start with $10 a week. Start with $10 a week, and whether you take that and, you know, auto transfer it to your savings account that's attached to your bank account, which is one thing that I do recommend to make it so easy, because when do we have cash to go deposit it or whatever? Now, some people are really old school can still shoebox that thing, but I know me, I'm gonna go under the bed and I'm going in the shoebox as soon as I need some money. So I don't need it accessible to me, but you have to know yourself. But if you can shoebox it, envelope it, I've seen people say, well, when I break a 20, every time I break a 20, I'm gonna put all the fives I get in an envelope. Some people do that. But I love the auto transfer to my savings account attached to my checking account. Start with $10. Start with $5. And once you see that you're not missing that money, $10 turns into 15 very quickly. 15 turns into 20 very quickly. You can't miss what you never had. The other option I like, it does take a few extra steps, is we're going into the new year. When you get to work, go to your HR department and say, hey, I would like to split my paycheck. And you would just go in and let them know, 90% of my paycheck goes into this account, 10% goes into this account. You can do 2%, 3%, 5%, but you can have multiple accounts with your multiple bank accounts that your check, you know, can be split into. I like that method. For me, for example, I have a savings account at a credit union, and I also recommend people to open a credit union account if you can. If you're eligible, that's always helpful. They have better savings rates a lot of times, and so your money can be earning more money while it's just sitting. Shameless plug for credit unions. But I do like that method. So my credit union is so far away from me that it's not attached to anything. I can't digitally get to the money. So by the time I want the $100, I have to drive across town to get it. And by then, the feeling is gone. And so I usually don't touch it. And that's been helpful for me. I have to move money away from me, but you have to know yourself. So those are the ways I like to teach people to save when they're not natural savers. Is start small and build. But on top of that, once we do the pre-work, you'll find those pockets. You went to Starbucks 6 days, maybe you go 4 days, and now you found $20 easy, because you didn't go those other 2 days. Now you found $20, that can now be set up for auto draft. You already saving and you haven't changed anything really because you were spending the money anyway.
Yeah, so, that's great.
You know, those type, yeah, that's where I like to teach people to find savings, is find those pockets where the extra Starbucks day, you know, because you're not going to miss that money. You were spending it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I 100% agree with the advice of try to get it out of sight, out of mind, just automate it, and you're saving without worrying about it. And you won't realize that the pie you're kind of dealing with is smaller, but you'll thank yourself later for sure.
For sure. And then the last thing you were asking me about is New Year's resolutions. So I absolutely believe in setting goals. I have to have something to look forward to. So if your plan to start is January 1 and you want to call it a resolution and that makes you feel better, 10 out of 10, let's go. I got a resolution. I call it what you want. I know that having that resolution, as long as it's attached to a plan, will work. You just cannot wake up on January 1 and believe that magically whatever you said on December 31st at the party is going to happen January 1, because it's not.
Yeah.
Because you didn't set it up to start, you know? So if we do use these last 2 weeks to get ready to kick off our New Year's resolution and have being fiscally responsible, absolutely 10 out of 10. However, we have to do the work to be ready for the resolution. And I'm with it. I'm trying to make a resolution to lose weight. So, you know, keep me accountable, everybody. Keep me accountable. Same way, you know. So that's kind of where I am on resolution. I think it'll work because some of us need a mental, you know, a mental carrot. And so let's do it. If it's going to make you better, I think it's worth it.
I agree with you there. Just the fact that you're putting yours out there and saying, keep me accountable, is important to note for people, I think, because in our survey recently, we found that a significant percentage of people plan to kind of keep their resolutions to themselves. And I think that is planning for failure. Like, I assume I'm not going to do this, and so I'm not going to tell anyone, let them down.
Right. So now it's out there. Everybody knows I got to lose this weight next year. So check back with me and see where we are.
We'll have you on for an update.
Right.
So on the theme of the resolutions, people's kind of second and third, the most common financial resolutions in our survey were to make more money and spend less. Obviously, those are kind of the wishful things that people would always really want to have.
Absolutely.
But what are your advice for those things? I think a lot of times people focus a lot on the spending and overlook the making more money part, which is that it's on people's radar.
So for right now, everything is really expensive, right? But again, that checking, that bank statement, credit card statement, we probably can find $50 to $100, sometimes more, by reviewing the spending leaks. And I always start there because let's take the pressure off ourselves. Like the concept of us going to our boss and being like, I need a raise because I'm not making, is slim to none. The concept of us stretching the clock more than 24 hours saying you got to get 7 jobs is slim to none. The concept of us becoming internet sensations overnight and making money because we're cute online is, you know, so I like to keep it simple. So first, once we do that, maybe we can find some pockets. Coffee runs, fast food, late night online shopping, subscriptions, those things add up quickly. And I don't want people to forget about that. Again, because technology makes it so easy for us to spend. So once you see where your money is going, it becomes easier to redirect. So I'm definitely a fan of, and therefore, excuse me, that may cause you to spend less, right? Because you know where it's going. A lot of people just want to cut back, but you don't really know the big picture. And maybe cutting back on Starbucks isn't healthy because you need your caffeine to function, but you can cut back taking your kids to Chick-fil-A every day because every time you go to Chick-fil-A, that's $40 in the drive-thru. And now we can just grocery shop different, you know? But you need to know what is happening to allow you to spend less, right? We can't just say it and not have facts to support how we're going to make this change. And I'm definitely a fan of making money. Like you said, I got 75 jobs and I keep 75 jobs just because I like to be busy, and it is necessary for me to just stay busy, and thank God most of them pay money. But if you've reviewed all the things and you see that what you make is not enough, then guess what we got to do? We got to make more. But I want people to start thinking about their natural talents, their natural gifts, things that they love. Because if you already have a primary job, your secondary job cannot be digging ditches, because you're going to be mad. So I would love for people to think about, okay, if I got to get a second job, a second side hustle, a gig, what is it I enjoy doing? So at least after you've worked your 8 hours and you got to go do something else, you can at least do something you enjoy. Again, my motto, I live with ease. Y'all not going to stress me out. I can't do it. I want to make money, but I don't want to be stressed out doing it. You know,
yeah,
it's already
great.
Stressful. Yeah. So a side hustle can be powerful if spending habits are already under control. So seasonal work. Right now it's Christmas holidays. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of little gigs that people can do right now just to make a little extra money. Weekend opportunities can help. But I also recommend, once you find this side hustle, this gig, the thing that you're making a little extra money on, try to dedicate at least 30 to 50% towards either savings or debt reduction, whatever your situation is that you need it more for, so that you can actually see the impact of having this extra job or thing that you're doing. But when you think about it, I hope people can, in a perfect world, I know, think about something they enjoy doing, because your 9 to 5 may not be what you enjoy doing, but at least your 6 to 10 could be. And therefore, you're making this extra money. You're still enjoying life. You're doing something you love. You're fixing your finances. All the things are happening for you. And you'll be more apt to continue to do it. And it may end up becoming your full-time thing, making the most money, because when you do what you love, the money is going to come.
Yeah, exactly. That's really good advice. And I think you're 100% right to follow what you're good at and what you really love, because you're definitely not going to do it otherwise. And you're right not to think that the solution for everyone is to become an internet sensation overnight. That's for some people, it can work, but for others, it expand what you're thinking about. And you can find that situation that really appeals to you.
Yeah.
So flipping the script a little bit from kind of what people should do to what people shouldn't do, what would you say are the biggest mistakes that people tend to make when they're trying the kind of new year, new you approach with their finances?
We jump in too fast. Mm-hmm. We just jump in too fast. Like I said, because you were at the party on December 31st, and when the ball dropped, you said, next year I'm going to save, you know, whatever, or I'm going to do this with my finances, and you wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, everything's the same. Mm-hmm. And you're wondering, or you try it for a week or 2 weeks, and it's so restrictive that you get frustrated and you go back to your old ways, because we didn't plan, we didn't prepare, we didn't do the work, right?
Yeah.
So we big promises without reviewing the numbers, setting timelines, or figuring out a system that will work. And I'm big on systems. You kind of got to know yourself, know what works for you. I like structure. I don't like structure. I like writing things down. I want to use the Wallet Hub app, you know, those types of things. We have to do it. We have to start before the thing. So it's like going to the gym. You know, the gym's going to be packed January 1 through January 31st. You already know that, because everybody's there. We all juicing and we only eating vegetables. That's right. For the whole 30 days, February 1st, we at McDonald's, period. End of discussion. I'm tired. I don't want this restrictive life, because nothing is fun if you're so restrictive. And I think we get into think about finances. You know, we think about I can't and I don't have enough. Those are the two phrases, I can't and I don't have enough. So I think we jump in too fast. So again, we want to build realistic goals. We want to start early. We want to understand where we are going in, so we know what we need to change. I tell people, you know, bite off small chunks. You can't, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One chunk at a time.
Hopefully not at all.
If you, right, right. Hopefully that. But, you know, you never know. Times are getting hard. We might go to eat an elephant soon. Who knows? And then if a plan is built on constant denial and restriction, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So we just need realistic strategies. Everything we've been talking about on this call, doing the pre-work is going to help a lot, because you know what you're looking at. Because you may go through your pre-work and realize, I just found $500. This is a true story. I wanted to buy a BMW. I didn't drive a BMW. I saw somebody in one. I want a BMW. Mm-hmm. So a girlfriend of mine had me do the thing. Go through your finances and see what's what. So I come to find out, I was spending $450 eating out and hanging out with my friends in a month. The car that I wanted, the car note was only going to be 325. This was 100 years ago. Don't, you know, but it was going to be like 325. So I realized then that I was blowing my car note money. I could be driving a BMW, but I wanted to be hanging out. And it was not until I reviewed my finances that I saw I actually had money to drive a BMW. And I went and I bought my BMW.
Congrats.
And I figured out other ways to have fun, you know.
Yeah.
But it was in that moment. And that's why that's such a big thing to me, because you think you don't have enough, but it's in there somewhere, you know. You just don't even realize it. I mean, I'm just, you know, we go out for dinner, happy hour, all the things. I added it up 1 month. And I was like, say what now?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes your allocations and how they line up with your values are one thing, and what is actually happening is another. And so you find out, I don't want to put this much money into this. I'd rather use it for that.
Exactly. And then so just understanding you're in the psychological side of money when we talk about the new approach to finances in the new year. Really think about how you think about money. We want to speak positively about money. I have enough. I deserve to be financially free. Money is attracted to me. Money comes to me every day. I can make money every single day. Being married to my husband and being an entrepreneur and knowing, you know, we have to get up and grind every day in order to keep the lights on, and seeing that, yes, you can get out here. You can make money every day. Money is easily attracted to you when you start thinking about it in a positive manner. And it does take time. That's not an overnight, you know, switch in thinking. But just try to start thinking about it positively. Like, you know what? I have enough. I may need to do some things differently. Get around people that have money. That's the other thing that's helped me. I have two girlfriends. They got a lot of money, a lot more than me. And so, you know, hanging out with them makes you level up, right?
Yeah.
Because they want to go on these fancy trips, and I want to go too. So guess what I had to do? I had to level up. And so get around people that talk about money, that understand money, you know, and try to begin to move in that positive energy flow. And prepare yourselves prior to the new year. So don't jump in too fast. Maybe change one baby thing and then turn that into two things. Maybe it takes you 6 months to really change your finances all the way around, but you did something in January. You changed a little something in February. You know, maybe you try one little thing per month. Get good at that and then move. What is it, 25 or 28 days to create a habit?
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something like this one. Yeah, so. You know, you can do that approach as well.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. It's very good advice. I guess kind of lastly, I have kind of a combination question for you. Basically, just other than the things we've talked about so far, do you have any other tips for people who are trying to improve their finances in 2026? And kind of related to that, are there any particular subject matter areas or books or things or whatever that you recommend people reading as based on your experience as a financial literacy coach? Like, what do people really need to beef up their understanding of?
Absolutely. So number one, focus on building a system. Learn yourself. See what works. See what you like to do consistently. You got to have some sort of system and be consistent at it. Again, start small. Get comfortable with that thing, whether it's writing down your finances each week, or pulling your debit, you know, your debit card, you know, printout every week and looking at what you spent that week. Whatever it is, get you a system that's going to work for you. Using the Wallet Hub app every week, taking a look at it, sitting down, spending time with your money, set that time aside. And then the other thing I like to tell people is there is no one size fits all. Exactly what you said. What works for your neighbor, don't worry about them. You have to do what works for you. Money changes as life changes. So we got to change. We got to be ready to pivot and be okay. And that doesn't mean you're failing at it. It just means you have to change. Like, okay, this didn't work. Let me do something different. Learning how money works and reading is going to be critical. So I have four books that changed my life. One book I read in 2001, I used to be a flight attendant. Yes, I've had $1,000.
Wow.
I used to be a flight attendant. And back then in the old day, we didn't have Wi-Fi. We didn't have telephones.
Yeah, so
on the
you're
plane.
Reading all day.
You just sitting, flying and reading all day. And my finances were in the trash. I think I was $35,000 in debt, and I didn't know what was happening. And I, at the time, I wasn't really around people that talked about money, but I knew I wanted to do better with my money. So I walked into a Barnes and Noble, we used to have those, and I was looking for finance books, and I saw a book, and it was called Girl, Get Your Money Straight. Only reason why I bought this book is because it just spoke to me. I didn't know anything about financial names and the business, who to follow. There was no Instagram or anything like that. So it was just that book spoke to me. That book changed my life because it was very clear and straightforward. So it's Girl, Get Your Money Straight by Glenda Bridgeforth. You can still get it on Amazon. She has a second book called Girl, Get Your Credit Straight. So I read that second to work on my credit and build my credit and get my credit together. And of course, the goat of all goats, Susie Orman. She has the other book that helped me, Women and Money by Susie Orman. This book was written for women who had no clue about money. So it's broken out into, I think, months. So each month you do a different thing to work on your finances. And it comes with some free things that you can use on her website and things like that. So I really love her Susie Orman books because it always comes with like a little carrot, you know, to go with it. And then she has one additional book, 9 Steps to Financial Freedom. So that was, I believe that was her first book she ever wrote, and it's still everything in it still rings true today. She does updates to her books often based on the economy. I know the Women and Money book has been updated a few times. If there are young people listening to this podcast, then she has one called Young, Fabulous, and Broke. It's a really cool book. For those at the time I read that book when I was getting out of college, because we are young, fabulous, and broke when we're getting out of college. So those are the books that I definitely recommend. There are so many, but I like simplicity. I like books that don't make me feel like I need a PhD to read them. Because again, when I was reading these books, I had no knowledge about finance, financial terms, all of that. So these books are written in everyday language with everyday things that you can do. I believe the Girl Get Your Money Straight and Girl Get Your Credit Straight books come with or have workbooks that go along with them that I love because you can write down and do the things and track your finances and things like that. So those are all on Amazon and you can take a look. Education leads to empowerment, right? Just knowing more, you do better. Money is a tool. You can use it for your good. And when you talk about it positively, you're attracting it to you. You're saying that you deserve it. You're saying that you welcome it. You want it around you. And we just got to move with ease. We're going to educate ourselves. We're going to act. Once we get that education, we're going to save, and it's going to empower us to be fantastic and live the best life we could ever live.
I know I'm fired up listening to you. I'm motivated.
Yay!
I'm ready to
Let's
go.
go. Let's go. Ten out of
I think maybe you need to write a book, and I think it would be a great audio book for at least.
Oh, that's so encouraging. I can't tell you. I think about it and then I don't. But WalletHub has been so supportive of me. I you know, the articles that I've written for WalletHub, when the first one got picked up, I think I cried. I was like, oh my gosh, they're listening to me. It's wild. So, and when you called to ask me to be on this podcast, I was so honored. And I really thank you for having me on this Pennywise podcast. I hope this is not my last time
No, of
that
course,
I'll
we'll
be
have to have
here.
you back because I think it's been great.
Yay. Okay. But yeah, move with ease. We're not doing nothing hard. I turn 50 next year. I'm moving with ease. Everything got to come easy to me. Because if it comes easy to you, then it's meant for you, right? We don't have to fight you when it comes to you. Like, oh, this is for me. Like, let's go. And so you're gonna do well. You're gonna do well. Everybody that listening, you're gonna be fine. You are gonna be fine. Don't beat yourself up. Give yourself some grace. Do one little baby thing. You know, just one little thing, and let that build momentum to financial freedom. John, you've been fantastic. Thank
Thank
you.
you so much. Thanks for joining me. It's been a whole lot of fun. We'll definitely do it again.
Absolutely. I look forward to speaking to you soon. Everybody listening, have a great 2026, and you can do this. You can do this.
All right. With our main topic covered, you know what time it is. It's Q&A time, when we try to help Pennywise listeners with their questions. Today, we have a submission from Maria. Maria asked, how do I build credit if I don't want to mess with credit cards? It's a great question, Maria. Thanks a lot. A lot of people feel the exact same way. Fortunately, you've got several options. One common option is to get a credit builder loan. And this is a unique type of loan where you don't get the money in the beginning. The money goes into a bank account, and then you make monthly payments for that money. And once you made all the payments at the end, you get it yourself. So you're not taking on really debt that you can spend. It's more of a way to just report payment to the credit bureaus and get credit for it. Other options include you could also report your rent payments to the credit bureaus, as well as your phone and utility payments. You can actually do that on Wallet Hub, so I recommend checking that out. It's a good way to get credit for bills you're already paying. And I'd also just like to point out that you could consider getting a credit card and not using it to make purchases. A lot of people are worried about credit cards in terms of getting into debt or racking up interest charges, but you'll still build credit if you maintain a $0 balance and you won't have to worry about those interest charges or debt. So you can kind of get the good without the bad there if you play things right. Okay, I think that's about it for today and I guess the year. It's been a lot of fun learning a little bit more about money with all of you, and you know, let's do it again soon in the new year. I'm looking forward to it, because if you're not penny wise, you might not keep your eyes on the prize after saying your 2025 goodbyes. All right, keep that straight. Thanks again to Lee Enterprises and Wallet Hub for helping put this all together, and thanks to you for listening. Happy New Year.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.